Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, January 13th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. And joining me, we have Tim motherfucking Geddes.
What's up, Bless? How you doing?
Man, I'm here.
You're all brunched out?
Dude, I'm all brunched out.
I heard your weekend was just brunch after brunch after brunch.
Oh my God. Yesterday I had two brunches in a row, followed by going up to Berkeley, hanging out with friends, getting drinks, and legit, like, It was a weekend. Because both me and you, we went on Saturday to Nick's 40th birthday.
Yeah. The old man keeps getting older somehow.
And I had a lot of drinks very quickly because I was not expecting. As soon as I got there, Nick saw me and he was like, "Oh, dude, let me get you a drink." And I was like, "Oh, snap, okay."
The Nick Scarpino special.
Yeah, just
he thinks that getting someone else a drink counts as him drinking.
I didn't even get to like be like, "Oh, hey, what's up, guys?" Like immediately he was like, "Oh, dude, I'll get you an old Cuban," and I got one. Right when I started drinking it, I met Matt Scarpino, who is a wonderful human being.
Yeah, he is. I wish Scarpino I was there to see
awesome.
That.
Oh my God, he talked my ear off for like 20 minutes.
Oh man, about, I'm sure he said many inappropriate things.
He was talking about like set design and like all the things
so
he had going on.
You were getting pro Scarpino.
Oh yeah,
the real Scarpino.
He was telling me like mainly like a lot of fascinating things about like what he does and all that stuff, but. During that conversation, like, I'm drinking my old Cuban that Nick had just bought me. I look down at my glass is empty, and Matt's immediately like, "Oh, dude, let me get you another one." He gets it for me, and so this is my second old Cuban, not even, like, 20 minutes into being at the birthday party. And so from there, I start drinking that one, and then we hear from across the way that somebody has, like, a pineapple drink, and I was like, "Oh, man, pineapple, I love pineapple." And Matt's like, "Dude, finish that, I'll get you the pineapple drink right now." And I'm like,
"Oh, my God."
All right.
Those Scarpino brothers, man.
And so I down it, and, like, I go for the pineapple drink, but then we learn that the pineapple drink is not alcoholic.
Oh.
And Matt's like, "Oh, I'll just get you another old Cuban." And I'm like,
Jesus.
All right. And so
the adventure continues.
The whole night's a blur.
Yeah.
It's kind of how that
it was
up.
A fun weekend, though, man.
Gotta
it was a
it,
really
man.
Fun time. Yeah. What about you? How'd you enjoy it?
I had a great weekend.
Awesome.
Fantastic, man. Just a lot of chilling, a lot of watching High School Musical, the series.
Oh, my God. Did you finish it?
Woo!
Such a good show.
What a banger.
I freaking love that show. I was listening to the soundtrack on Spotify this morning.
Yeah, you were.
It's so good.
I'm so happy you're
people
here
don't
with us.
Give people don't give that show enough credit.
They
to
don't,
me,
man.
It's the better show on Disney Plus.
It is.
I put that above The Mandalorian.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen like Encore or any of the other. I haven't seen like the Imagineering.
Imagineering story is dope.
Okay, but so far, High School Musical, the musical, the series is my favorite on Disney Plus. But this show isn't about Disney Plus. This show is about video games. Today's stories include Assassin's Creed leaks, Monster Hunter World Iceborne eating saves, and more. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for some housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Muhammad. Today, we're brought to you by Upstart, Hims, and Quip, the rare triple threat.
The triple threat
of sponsors. But I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting off with some Assassin's Creed leaks.
Ooh, Creed me up.
Yeah, man. So Assassin's Creed Ragnarok is leaking all over the place, Barrett. Just all over the place.
All over
just
me, man.
Just everywhere.
Just fucking everywhere. You gotta clean it up, Les.
Oh, man. Let's clean it up. So I'm pulling this from Joseph Noop over on IGN and NStav13 over on Reddit. So I'm gonna start off.
The number four games journalist.
The number four games journalist. So I'm gonna start off with this quick write up from IGN, and I'm gonna dive deep into some of the bullet points written up by NStav13 on Reddit, who is linked in the IGN article. So Assassin's Creed Ragnarok is reportedly the next mainline Assassin's Creed game, if recent leaks are to be believed. Thanks to alleged Amazon and GameStop item listings, we can surmise a few things about the next installment in the long-running franchise. What's next for Ubisoft's biggest franchise? Keep in mind, though, that Ubisoft has yet to confirm any such information, so take everything with one seriously large grain of salt. So in the
Or don't. Because this is 100% real.
Oh, yeah. So IGN then links to this Reddit user who essentially links to like 4chan, but this guy kind of he kind of surmises everything in a way that's kind of digestible. So I'm going to go through bullet point to bullet point, and this isn't all the information we have, but these are like the highlights, right? And you can go to IGN or go to Reddit to essentially see everything that's available. But these are the key things, all right? So the title of the next game is Ragnarok, which we knew, codenamed Kingdom. It'll launch on Xbox One, PS4, PS5, and Xbox Series X. Officially announced in February at the upcoming PlayStation event. Release date being September 29th, 2020. That's an interesting one.
So far, with the three of those things, we got the launching on the this gen and next gen. Yep. That makes a lot of sense. The officially announced in February, which would win me the pizza bet.
Would win you the pizza bet. I still don't believe it, but we'll see.
The upcoming release date of September 29th. So it would be another situation like Assassin's Creed
Black Flag
4, where it came out twice. On current gen and then comes out later on... On next gen, assuming next gen is November,
right?
Yeah,
as it usually is.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, Black Flag was a day one for PS4 and Xbox One, right?
Yeah,
when those came out.
Yeah, it was a launch title for them. Okay. But it was like, if I remember correctly, 2 weeks after PS3 and 360 launches in the game.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. Up to 4-player drop in and drop out co-op, kind of like Ghost Recon Wildlands, which is interesting for an Assassin's Creed. I feel like. The last time they did something like that was Unity.
Yep.
Which didn't pan out the best, but I don't know
why people hated that game. Like Unity,
So that's interesting. Players can only play as a single character, Jorah, who can be chosen to be male or female, which I think makes sense. Jorah leads a small band of 4 during their adventures, which is why other players can drop in and out for co-op. The game continues heavy RPG mechanics, now including different classes and mild skill tree changes based on class. Player class can be changed by a specific character. Combat is upgraded with more weapon types and special abilities for every weapon grouping. Each weapon can have runes added, be upgraded, and durability increased. Weapon durability does now come into play, forcing players to use their weapon pool more effectively, and players are now forced to manage a smaller inventory that can be upgraded. Now, that sounds like Breath of the Wild to me.
With that durability?
With that weapon durability. I'm sure like the weapons here will be way more durable than the Breath of the Wild weapons, but I'm just saying that kind of sounds familiar to me. Sailing returns, and it is less combat intensive and more focused on exploration and travel, including being able to navigate tight rivers and wetlands. The Hidden Blade is back, and it is far more customizable in terms of cosmetics. Multiple settlements throughout the world can be captured and controlled for trade and currency gains. Difficulty returns, but focuses more on parry times, player health, and enemy reaction times rather than enemy health. Leveling is overhauled to allow players to improve skill sets to gain experience, like in Skyrim. As a result, level locking regions and content is gone. The map is massive, like all of Northern Europe. My source mentioned big cities like York, London, Paris, and Kyiv. Did I pronounce that right? Kyiv?
I'm going to say yeah.
Okay. Kyiv, maybe? I don't know. Every kingdom was meant to be really unique. And there are way more bullet points and features, but I'll point you guys to IGN or Reddit or wherever you want to go to essentially see all the details if you're a big Assassin's Creed person. But with all of that, Tim, what are your thoughts?
You know, Assassin's Creed, probably one of the most fascinating franchises of our lifetime when you really think about it. A first title that was fine, but a lot of people, I think, would say that it didn't live up to the hype.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect example of a franchise where the sequel comes in, sets the standard, right?
Yeah.
And then just banger, banger, banger. But then it banged a little too long. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You just can't go that long. Then people started getting upset about it being annualized. They realized that. They took a step back. They put out Origins. People loved Origins, right? Mm-hmm. Take a little bit more of a break. Come back with Odyssey. And Odyssey starts going in a different direction for this franchise. Turning Assassin's Creed into something bigger, something better.
Now, would you say Odyssey or Origins? Because I feel like Origins was the one that really... That was the first one after they took a year break.
Yeah.
Where they came back bigger and better and added like way more RPG mechanics. I think Odyssey was the one that kind of capitalized off of that and made it even more expansive.
But from what I hear, like with Greg, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like Odyssey was the one that took those ideas of the different direction and like ran with it.
Oh, yeah.
This sounds like it's taking the Odyssey thing and just going jumping off a cliff.
Yeah.
Like the size of the the space alone sounds crazy. The four-player stuff, the all the different elements that they're adding, whether it's the RPG stuff or the weapon durability and the sailing, the exploration. This sounds like a very different game.
Yeah.
The interesting thing that it feels like they're rolling back on the bullet point that you have that says difficulty returns but focuses more on parry times, player health, and enemy reaction times rather than enemy health. Like, I wonder, that sounds like an in-between of what Origins and Odyssey's combat system was, and like what the old school Assassin's Creed combat is.
Yeah, that's the thing. This sounds like it's really kind of looking back at all the prior Assassin's Creeds and being like, all right, the sailing is cool.
Yeah, we're gonna add the sailing.
Like, okay, cool. Yeah. The co-op stuff could have worked in Unity. What was it called? In Unity, but whatever. And like putting elements together. This is one of those things where it's risk and reward. Like, this might be throwing too many new ideas into something that kind of just needed a little bit more refinement. Or it could be a huge step forward and redefine what a Ubisoft game means for next gen.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at, because, like, Assassin's Creed, when it was yearly, I wasn't a big fan. Like, I played the first Assassin's Creed. I played Assassin's Creed 2. And for both those games, like, I could see why people liked Assassin's Creed 2 way more than the first one, because it seemed like it added a lot more character and a lot more things to do there. But for me, I could never really get into it. You know, I would see games like Black Flag come out and people would be like, oh, yeah, Black Flag is the best one. I would jump in.
It still is.
Still is?
Yeah.
I jumped in and tried to do it, and I don't think those games are for me. But seeing people play Origins and seeing people play Odyssey, like, I look at those games and I'm like, okay, I can understand. Like, these games seem like a departure from what Assassin's Creed has been in a way that I could see myself possibly getting back in. And I think it is, like, the year gap they're taking, right? They're taking more time to develop these games, which means that they're able to do more things, add in more features, be more innovative, as opposed to just, like, straight up just iterative with each game being the same thing but in a different area.
And that's kind of the cool thing to me is, like, we talk a lot about God of War and how it changed what that franchise was and made it better, right? It took this franchise that people loved and completely reinvented it from the ground up. And I kind of feel like Assassin's Creed did that. Maybe not in the to the extremes and to the levels that God of War did, but what it did was different, where it allowed itself to grow in different ways and look at each Assassin's Creed title as if it's its own way to innovate and kind of try new things out and expand the world and expand like gameplay styles of what an Assassin's Creed game even means. Where I like that before, we knew exactly what we're going to get from that, from an Assassin's Creed game. Now it's like every 2 years there's going to be something that, like, makes it mechanically different from the last one.
Mechanically different and just way more interesting and engaging. Like, reading these bullet points, I'm like, oh yeah, this sounds like a different game than the last one.
Because before, I feel like Assassin's Creed, really the leak was, where does it take place? It's like, we know the game.
It take place, and what is, like, the mechanic that that's changing, right? Whether it is, like, Unity with co-op, or Syndicate with, like, being able to choose characters.
Black Flag with the ships.
What was it? Revelations with the weird... There was, like, a weird way you could, like, travel around, like, the rooftops and shit that they added in Revelations.
Hardcore parkour.
The Nanobiologist writes in and says, hi, Blessing and Tim. Assassin's Creed Ragnarok had a huge leak dump last week, but a very interesting thing that stood out to me is, one, the bringing back co-op for the main story and its drop-in, drop-out, and two, it'll be revealed at the PlayStation reveal event in February. Now, I know we must take leaks with a salt lick-sized grain of salt, but Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft leaks in general mostly end up being true. Remember the Mario and Rabbids leak, Tim? So do you see PlayStation repeating history with another February reveal event like they did 7 years ago for the PS4? Also, how good is the games industry in its short history at repeating itself and staying consistent? Thanks, the Nanobiologist.
I still hold true that we are getting the PlayStation event in February. I just think that it makes sense. You know, we've seen it before, and I don't think that that is good evidence to use on them doing it again, because for as history repeating itself, there's no real patterns when it comes to that stuff. And I feel like anytime you try to look for patterns, especially in the days now of Nintendo Directs and State of Plays, you're not going to find anything that, like, means anything substantial. There might be some little evidence here. You might be like, it's an easy bet that Nintendo's going to do a Direct in January or February. But if they didn't, it wouldn't be like, shocking.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
But with this, I still believe the February thing's happening. But there's something about Ubisoft leaks that are more often true than not true. But I think it's because Ubisoft, unlike many other developers, are spread worldwide in a way where all of the different studios are working on games of consequence. Mm-hmm. I feel like there aren't too many studios that have that many teams in different places that are working on giant tentpole titles, because Ubisoft just has them in a way that, you know, EA has their titles, right? But we're not really like going to get a huge Madden leak. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ubisoft makes games that can have leaks, and those games are being worked on around the world, whether it's Ubisoft SF or Ubisoft, you know, up in Canada. All of them are working on elements of all of the games at once. So when Ubisoft's working on 15 games at a time, a lot of people, more people have information about those games than a lot of other studios.
Yeah. For me, all the information in this leak, I'm taking with the largest grain of salt possible, because like, if you look at the IGN article, which I'm sourcing, right, like they mention Amazon and GameStop leaks, right? But they're also like linking Reddit stuff, which the Reddit stuff is then linking 4chan stuff. And like, if you read the 4chan post, it's like, oh yeah, like the rumors I've heard from my insider at Ubisoft, all this, right? Like, these leaks are being pulled from all different places, and you never know like what information is dated, what information is inaccurate, what information is like just being made up, you know,
what information is just based on information that they heard from the other information here, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that happens more often than not when it comes to this type of leak, where it just is so much information, where it's like, oh, this person said this, this person said this. Now this third person said both those things and one more thing. That then feels more real, because they're like, oh, well, we heard this from them and them, so this is a double source. No, it's the same source.
Mm-hmm.
It all comes back to, what is the source?
Yeah. Yeah, and Assassin's Creed is one of those interesting ones where, like,
it's usually Kotaku that leaks it, so...
Yeah, and like Assassin's Creed Ragnarok will leak, and I mean, if it hasn't, it, I mean, like this stuff, I think some of it is factual. I don't know how much of this is factual, but I think at least some of this is spot on. And you know, it's tradition for Assassin's Creed to leak, right? And so whether, you know, this is all accurate, or whether whether somebody in a month or so is going to be riding a bus, and they're going to be sitting behind a guy with a backwards hat on, and on the back of the hat, it's just going to have the word, like, huge letters, Ragnarok, and then above it, AC, right? Like, it's bound to happen. It's Assassin's Creed.
It hasn't happened yet, though, which is surprising. We don't have a keychain this year.
There's no laptop, there's no keychain, none of that yet. Yet, Barrett.
Yet.
Yet being the operative word. Okay. It's going to happen.
All right.
I'm willing to take another bet on this.
Another piece of bet?
I can't be taking more than one pizza bed at a time. I can't be making it rain pizza on this office. Number two, Call of Duty and GTA 5 dominated PlayStation Store downloads in 2019. This is by James Batchelor on GamesIndustry.biz.
This goes back to Nanobiologist. Some things in history don't change.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Grand Theft Auto 5 were 2019's biggest sellers on the PlayStation Store in the US and Europe, respectively. Both US and European PlayStation blogs have revealed the rankings for the most downloaded PS4 games via the platform's digital store, as well as top sellers in other categories. While a lot of titles appear in both lists, there are several differences that hint at varying tastes between the two continents. Firstly, there are the obvious sporting differences, with two FIFA titles appearing on the European chart with FIFA 20 and number two, but none to be seen in the U.S. rankings. Conversely, NBA 2K20 was the biggest sports game in the U.S. at number three, with Madden 20 at number seven and MLB at number 13, none of which appear on the European charts. There are less predictable differences, such as Borderlands 3's absence from the European chart or Crash Team Racing's non-appearance on the U.S. America also seems to be home to more Star Wars fans, since both Battlefront 2 and Jedi Fallen Order ranked higher than over on the other side of the Atlantic. PlayStation also revealed the best-selling PSVR games, with Beat Saber taking the top spot on both charts. Europe's second biggest virtual reality title was the UK-developed Blood and Truth, which is a great game, while the US favorite indie hit Superhot VR, which is also a very great game. Both of those, awesome games. Meanwhile, Apex Legends beat Fortnite in both free-to-play charts, Epic's Battle Royale game had to settle for number 2, with Dauntless at number 3 in both US and Europe. Fortnite, however, dominated the rankings for best-selling DLC and expansions, taking up all 10 positions in both US and European charts. The Laguna Pack was the most popular purchase across both.
What's the most interesting thing here to you?
Apex Legends beating Fortnite on the free-to-play charts at first struck me as interesting, but, I mean, it being a new game in 2019 and Fortnite, I imagine, like, a lot of people already having that game downloaded makes sense.
Fair.
And so DLC sales being just way higher for Fortnite over Apex Legends and every other free-to-play game, I think still makes sense with that, since that audience is so huge. Aside from that, I feel like all of this kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, that was the one that didn't make sense to me, but you made it make sense. Thank you, Blessing.
There you go, smart guy. Sure. If you look at, and I'm gonna read some of the top digital sales here, because I have the list for U.S. and Europe. So on the U.S. side, starting at number 1, we have Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which makes sense. Minecraft PS4 Edition, makes sense. NBA 2K19, Grand Theft Auto 5, NBA 2K20, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, which, man, I didn't realize that game was doing that well.
Yeah, like, me neither.
I knew Rainbow Six Siege was like...
Brought it back, but yeah, like, not...
I didn't realize they brought it back like that. We also have Madden NFL 20 at number 7, Star Wars Battlefront 2, Tom Clancy's Division 2.
That's another semi-surprise, an older game.
Star Wars Battlefront 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was probably all the sales. It was probably them. They were another example of kind of bringing it back, like after all the loot crate stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. They have like a very like hardcore audience as well. And from what I've heard, like they've really been supporting that game in 2019. So.
Yeah. But I mean, the hardcore audience, like these are new people.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like because there's new people buying it in 2019.
These are the top downloaded PS4 games for US and Europe, US specifically for this. And then at number 9 we have Tom Clancy's The Division 2, and number 10 we have Days Gone. So Days Gone still, you know, not.
I mean, there's a power to exclusives, man.
Yeah, like, man.
That especially after the tear of perfection almost that Sony had like year after year, and then Days Gone was the first questionable one.
Yeah, and looking at these games, right, for the top 10 US, Days Gone being in the top 10, I feel like it's actually pretty impressive for what that game is and for how it came out and how it was received. Like, the other games on this list, on this top 10, are games that I could easily see, right? Yeah. Division 2, right? It's a Tom Clancy, it's a Ubisoft game. Like, yeah, that game's going to get a lot of downloads. It's a multiplayer online service game. Like, yeah, that's going to have an audience. Star Wars makes sense. Sports games make sense. Call of Duty... Minecraft, Grand Theft Auto, all that stuff you would expect in the top 10. Days Gone at number 10, I think, is really impressive. And I guess, like, I mean, good to see. Like, shout out to that studio. Like, you know, that I feel like that game kind of got raked over the coals a bit because it didn't come out with the level of quality that we expect from a PlayStation first-party exclusive. But, you know, good to see that they're still out there selling. And on the European side, the top 10 for PS4 digital sales, Grand Theft Auto 5, number 1, FIFA 20, Minecraft PlayStation 4 Edition, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Rainbow Six Siege, Red Dead Redemption 2, The Forest, which is a very interesting one, Rocket League, EA Sports, UFC 3, which I think is also an interesting one, and then Crash Team Racing at number 10. Yeah.
My man.
Awesome. Number 3, Monster Hunter World Iceborne PC is deleting save files for some players. This comes from Sheriff Saeed of VG247. Some of those players who jumped into Monster Hunter World Iceborne immediately after its release found that their save files are gone. Monster Hunter World Iceborne released on PC last night. Although the launch has been relatively smooth so far, some players ran into a major problem. Upon starting the game, Monster Hunter World does a save file check. When this happens, some players receive an error message letting them know that, quote, no compatible save was found, end quote. If you continue along, the game will create a new save file, immediately deleting the old. If you have cloud saves enabled for Monster Hunter World, the new save will replace the existing one in the cloud as soon as you exit the game. This caught many off guard, and it's not immediately clear what causes it. Some believe it has to do with mods, many of which are out of date at this point. Others think the error occurs if you haven't played Monster Hunter World in a while, which means you missed out on a save data format change that took place post-launch. Seeing as the game can't read the old format, it suggests starting over, which obviously isn't ideal. The issue is widespread enough with plenty of posts on Steam forums, Reset Era, and more on Reddit, all frustrated that hours of game are gone. If you've yet to launch the game since Iceborne's release, you may want to back up your save file locally just in case.
That sucks.
That
man.
Sucks. And that's a PSA for people who want to jump into Iceborne on PC. Back up your saves locally or you run the risk of losing them until whenever they fix this.
Dude, I will never forget. This is kind of a tangent, but it's semi-related. Prince of Persia Warrior Within. I got to the right before the final boss, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a glitch in the first run of the game that I bought because I got it day one that there's this bridge you're on that halfway across the bridge, your character just falls through the world and you die. And it just keeps happening over and over and over. There was a solution to the glitch that if you went a certain way and it was like a go three to the left, up two, right one, like that type of like little zigzag across the bridge, you'll make it across the bridge and there's a door. But when you go in the door, there's a 50-50 chance of it deleting your save file.
Oh, wow.
What?
That's terrifying.
And
that's fucking wild.
I got my save file deleted.
Oh,
I have never beat Prince of Persia Warrior Within.
I'm so sorry.
Officially. I remember later just like watching the a Let's Play, or not Let's Play, whatever the hell it was back in the day, just game footage of the final boss. I'm like, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I got that experience. Fuck you.
I had a similar thing happen to me with the original Ratchet & Clank on PS2, which I can't remember now if I've beaten that game or not because this happened so long ago. But like, on PS2, I got to the final area, like the final level of Ratchet & Clank, the original one, and I was an idiot kid. I was one of them dumb kids.
Yeah.
And whenever I would boot up that game, because the TV I had, for some reason, it would take quite a few seconds to boot up once I turn on the TV. So what I would do is I would turn on the PS2 first, and the PS2, like, I knew the steps that the PS2 would take, right? Mm-hmm. You would get to the Ratchet & Clank start menu fairly quickly. And then in my head, I was like, okay, I know that it's start X to then load my game, right? And so I would do that without looking at the TV, right? Because my TV was still turning on.
Right.
Because the PS2 was faster than the TV for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And I was like, I was at the last level of Ratchet & Clank, did that, booted up my PS2, was like, okay, time to finish this thing. And then I pressed the buttons. And then once my TV finally came on, I realized that I had deleted my save somehow.
Oh, bless.
I deleted my own save.
You did your own saboteur.
And so never again, like, I'm never going to be that stupid again.
Yeah.
Because I learned that
you
lesson.
You learned a lesson.
I learned that lesson at like 8 years old.
We give quality gamer lessons here at Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Yeah.
Wait till your TV turns on.
Don't be one of them dumb kids.
I had a similar one with just like save files being deleted randomly with BioShock Infinite. And it was specifically the area of like the ghost mom boss fight like I would get to it and then save and then like be done. And then when I would load up my save, like the next time I would play, my save would be right before the mom ghost boss fight again.
Oh my God.
So I had to beat her like 3 fucking times before I actually beat that game. Because of the third time I was like, fuck it. I'm just sitting down and I'm playing the rest of this game right now because I know it's going to delete itself again. So that was fun. Because that's the worst part of that game.
Stay tuned to PSLOUXOXO today because I might have a similar story involving Graveyard Keeper.
Oh man.
Number 4, Awesome Games Done Quick 2020 raises more money for charity than ever before. I'm pulling this from James O'Connor over at GameSpot. He writes, Awesome Games Done Quick 2020 has wrapped up in triumph with the week-long speedrunning charity event ending with a huge amount of money earned for this year's charity, the Prevent Cancer Foundation. The event raised $3,131,475 from over 54,000 individual donations, which came in from over 80 countries. This is the largest amount any single Games Done Quick event has ever brought in. Donations remain open on the site if you'd still like to be a part of the event's charitable efforts. Frank Furter writes in and says, good morning, Blessing and Tim. Awesome Games Done Quick ended Saturday night / Sunday morning and raised over $3.1 million for cancer research. For those who don't know about GDQ, it's a 24-hour event for a full week twice a year in which people speedrun any and all games in attempts to raise money for charity. My question to you is, do you watch speedrunning in your limited downtime? If so, what's your favorite game to watch? Also, have you ever tried speedrunning? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter. Tim, did you watch any of Awesome Games Done Quick?
I'd love to pop in whenever they're doing this and just kind of see whatever, like, not any scheduled thing, just kind of pop in, see what game people are playing, see how they're breaking the hell out of the game. That's always fun.
Yeah.
But this always reminds me of the OG speedrun video, which was Super Mario Brothers 3 done in 11 minutes.
Oh.
There was a video that like went viral. This is before videos went viral. Like, yeah. This was like,
I remember this.
Just you had to like download it off Kazaa to see this shit. And it was a tool assisted speed run that was like, you could do it in game. You just have to be insane.
Yeah.
But it was just Mario like perfectly like bouncing around, flipping the raccoon tail, like hitting everything. It was art.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, besides that, I was actually introduced to the speedrunning world with AGDQ.
Mm-hmm.
For a God of War charity stream when they were announcing the God of War 3 remastered. Sony Santa Monica had me and Greg fly down to hang out with them. This is when I met Corey Barlog. This is like way before God of War 4.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all hanging out, and they got like the best God of War speedrunner in the world, or speedrunners in the world.
That's crazy through. That's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Greg kind of went in and with the attitude me and Greg would, which is like, yo, we're down for this, but like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way these motherfuckers like are the best. Like, they are, that's a title.
Like, what does that even mean?
Like, yeah, it's just like how are they better than the other ones? And then you're there, and there was a group of people that were playing all the God of War games in one sitting. We were there for a stream where they beat all of the God of Wars in one sitting.
Jeez.
And seeing the different techniques that each one was using, I was like, oh my God.
Now, are they glitching through and stuff?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was full glitch through. The reverence that they had for each other, I was like, oh dude, there's this one thing that he can do that we just can't do. Like, he's the only one that can do this random glitch.
It's so cool.
And I'm like, fuck, this is right.
Yeah.
It opened my eyes to a whole other world. And man, like, it was all live streamed. Like, I'm sure the stream exists somewhere that people can find it. But the best thing was this thing called Serious Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're all hanging out and everyone's just like joking around. And then the dude, I forgot exactly what he would say, but he would just say something. And then everyone, Serious Time. Everyone would have to get quiet for him to do the one move. All right, he made it. Cool. Let's keep going. Dude, and it was hype as fuck.
I absolutely love watching this stuff. I missed pretty much all of Austin Games Done Quick this last week because it's just been a busy week.
Week. Too many brunches.
Brunches. It was also my first week working here, and I kind of had a focus on stuff that I was doing. But I haven't really like sat down and watched through like. Scheduled time for myself to really like watch and ingest like a lot of Awesome Games Done Quick, but I'm like you, Tim, where I'll tune in for like an hour or so, you know, depending on like what I have going on, and just like tune into whatever game they're playing, because no matter what game they're playing, even if it's a game you've never heard of, it's still fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's still really fun to watch. The way in which they relay like what exactly is going on and telling you exactly how they're breaking in the game, or like, you know, like when the developers were developing this game, they overlooked this thing over here, which then allows us to break the game in this way and all that stuff. All that stuff, I think, is super fascinating,
so cool.
And super fun to see and so cool. Yeah, like one of my favorite ones, the one that probably like opened my eyes to how cool this stuff was the Donkey Kong 64 speedrun, where they're just glitching,
dude. It's
straight through.
Fascinating.
It's
so
cool.
Have you ever tried yourself?
No. I don't even know what game I could try and speedrun. Probably like the closest thing for me probably would be Mario 3, but even then, like, I'm nowhere near like what the actual speedrunners are doing. It's just me trying to play the game really fast.
The closest I've come is just trying to play the game fast. I'm not trying to beat any world records or stuff.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
My goal has always been to beat Super Mario Brothers 1 in less than 10 minutes.
Really?
And I've never done it. Mm. I've gotten close. I think my best was like 11 minutes.
This sounds like a stream. Wow.
That sounds like
a lot of pressure, man. I don't know. I could do it on stream, but yeah, like there was a time period where, like probably late high school, where I busted out my SNES and just connected it. I was playing Mario All-Stars version, and every night I would play at least 3 runs of Mario 1.
Dude, I love this.
Just to try to get it.
Dude, that's awesome.
You know? Yeah. And I could.
And you're like doing all the pipes and stuff,
of course,
right?
Yeah, that's the only way.
Yeah. Are you glitching through anything?
No glitches.
No glitches. No glitches. Okay.
I'm just playing.
Pipe run.
Like, I'm a normal person.
Man.
You know what I mean?
I want to see this. I want to see 10 minutes.
I don't know
if
I can do it, man. Yeah. Less than 10 minutes.
Because like Mario 1 is hard.
It is. So the thing for me is I'm not that great at these games.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a key moment where you go from world 1-1, right, into to 1-2. You can then warp to 4-1. You go from 4-1 to 4-2, warp from 4-2 to 8-1.
Yeah.
Then you have to do all of 8. right?
Yeah.
There's two difficult jumps. There's a difficult jump in 8-1, and there's a difficult jump in 8-2.
That difficult jump in 8-1 was like my
worst. With the one little stupid thing?
Yes, was my worst enemy as a kid. Dude, I battled that so hard because I had Super Mario Deluxe on the Game Boy Color.
Yeah.
And so I'd just be in the back of my mom's car like, yo, why can't I get this thing? Why would they make this so hard?
Because wasn't 8-1 the one that would also drop down like the little spiked dudes as well?
That was 8-2.
Yeah, 8-1 had the bullet bills, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And then 8-2 has the freaking Spinies coming down.
Yeah.
But then it has the impossibly hard jump where you have to run off of the piranha plant pipe to then run on the two little blocks that have holes in between them to get enough momentum to make the jump.
Yep.
So that's a fucking bitch. But then for me, the game breaker of whether or not I was going to have a good run was 8-3 with all the goddamn Hammer Brothers.
Oh. Yeah.
There's so many Hammer Brothers. And if I wasn't Fire Mario... At that point, I was essentially this ain't going to fucking happen.
Yeah.
Because then you have to do 8-4, the castle, and it's like, there's the Bowser is fine. Although he's throwing all the hammers and shit. Usually I'm like, if I'm big, I'll just run through him and it's fine. But there's the Hammer Brother right before Bowser. And that motherfucker messes my day up. Anyways, that's my dissertation on
back in the day,
the difficulty of Mario 1.
How long did it take you to figure out 8-4? Because it took me a while.
Oh, the pattern?
Yeah, the pattern where you go. The tubes?
I don't know. I mean, it definitely took a long time, but now it's muscle memory.
Dude, I can't even tell you the solution right now. I just remember as a kid.
I bet you if you were playing it, you would know.
Probably. Like, as a kid, I remember, like, just sitting down and being like, I don't get what's happening. Because that was the first time they really introduced that mechanic of, like, figuring out, like, okay, this one's.
No, it's not. There's like three other examples of it.
I think
I think it's every other castle towards the end of the game.
Really?
But most people use the warps.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of levels you probably never played.
Possibly. Actually, no. As a kid, I think I actually did, because I don't think I knew about the warps. Unless I accidentally got to one of the warps or one of the vines.
We're going off on tangent tangent here, but fuck it. I don't care. Have you ever played Mario Lost Levels?
I mean, I've tried. I played the first couple of levels.
So I beat that game.
Really?
I forced myself to fucking beat that game.
Oh, God.
It was so hard. Dude, that game is evil. It's Super Mario Brothers 2. It's the original Mario 2, the Japanese version before we got the
Mario Brothers 2 whatever Panic
USA Doki Doki Panic. It is so. Have you played it, Barrett?
No.
The game is fucked up because it looks exactly like Mario 1,
but it was made by the devil.
Same layout, but it's made by the devil in ways that, like, there's mushrooms that if you touch it hurts you, and the only difference is like the way that their eyes are shaped.
Oh,
and
on
NES, it's not that clear.
Yeah.
Mm.
The bigger fuck you though. Is you? What's the one thing every single kid tries to do in Mario Brothers 1 at the end of the level?
Get the top of the flag.
Yeah.
What do they want to do more than that?
Go over it.
Go over the fucking flag, right? We've all tried it. We've tried countless times.
Yeah.
This game, there's certain levels that let you do it.
Hell
all right?
Yeah.
Then you go, but it's Mario 1 rules, so you can't go back
on
screens, right? They let you do it. There's a warp pipe. This is world like... 6.
Uh-huh.
It warps you back to world 1.
What?
I love video games, man.
That's awesome. All right, Sam.
I actually love that.
I'm proposing you either have to do a Mario 1 stream where we try to make you beat it in less than 10 minutes, or you have to race me in Cuphead. One or the other.
I want
to
play Mario 2.
You'll destroy me racing me. You've now barely got the 4-time Cuphead world champion.
4 times?
He beat it the 4th time this weekend.
Why? Yeah.
Because it's so fun. It's just like a fun, mindless game. I like beat it in 3 sittings. It was great.
I still have to beat it the first time. Like, yeah. I got stuck at the dragon boss with 3 heads.
You gotta go back
heads.
On Switch.
Yeah.
Is it really good on Switch?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Really good on Switch.
Yeah, like, Xbox One, when it originally launched, and I think I was working at IGN, so I was playing it, like, for gameplay clips there, and it had, like, some... like issues when it originally launched, and like Switch has none of that. I'm sure like Xbox One has been like fixed a little bit with performance, but like there is nothing wrong with the Switch port. It's fucking fantastic.
Does it feel good to control? Because like, are you using Joy-Cons?
Oh, use the Pro Controller. Joy-Cons are fine too, but like, use the Pro.
I did beat it handheld yesterday though.
Yeah, which my second time I did beat it on just the Switch.
But, and like, people are different. Like, Tim likes to change like the buttons and like all that stuff. I play the original version and like play claw mode and shit like that.
Crazy.
You got to just like find the language, you know?
Hmm. I want to go back to it at some point.
It's so good.
Number 5, GTA 4 is no longer available to buy on Steam. This comes from Eddie over at GameSpot. For reasons that are not clear, Rockstar's Grand Theft Auto 4 is no longer available to purchase on Steam. A member of Reset Era forum recently discovered that the Steam page for GTA 4 no longer has a purchase button where it once was. The page does not offer any insight into why this is the case. Rockstar Games could not be reached for comment at press time. People are speculating that...
Hold on. What is press time?
The time that they're pressing the article, man. The time that they're publishing.
Sure. Okay. Okay. It's the internet, man.
People are speculating that this has something to do with music licensing for GTA 4. Still requires a game for Windows Live account. Did I read that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Others are guessing that Rockstar might be moving GTA 4 from Steam to its own Rockstar launcher. For now, the real reason why GTA 4 is no longer available to buy on Steam remains a mystery. PC Gamer reminds us that Rockstar removed GTA Vice City from Steam for a brief period of time in 2012 due to a copyright claim related to the Michael Jackson song, Wanna Be Starting Something.
Interesting.
Grand Theft Auto 5 and Grand Theft Auto San Andreas remain available for purchase on Steam. It's also worth noting that those who already own GTA 4 on Steam can continue to play the title. And so my assumption is that this is probably a soundtrack thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the, you know, I only listened to the hip-hop radio station in GTA 4, but there were there were a lot of cuts on there. Like, they had, like, flashing lights on there. They had some Swiss beats. They had, like, a lot of current music coming out at the time. Music that I imagine probably came with some sort of limit.
Yeah.
Like a 10-year limit. And so I feel like it being a Rockstar launcher thing of them trying to, you know, take games off Steam and put them onto the Rockstar launcher exclusively doesn't make sense since it's just GTA 4.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I'm looking at this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I wouldn't be surprised if one day they do a Rockstar game launcher. But I think that
they have one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but it's cool. Like... It kind of came out under the radar. Like, I think Greg reported on it talked about it on KFGD. Hmm. But it was one of those things where, since it didn't seem like they were putting out games exclusively for it, even though kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, did Red Dead Redemption 2 come out on other other services aside from Rockstar Game Launcher? I can't remember now.
Yeah, we'll have to see that. I wouldn't be surprised though going into GTA 6 if they did try to put a bit more focus on their own launcher.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because, like... There is so much money to be made, mm-hmm. obviously, from Rockstar Games, and they do not want to split that cut with Steam mm-hmm. if they mm-hmm. can just do their own launcher. So, yeah, it looks like Red Dead Redemption 2 is on Steam, available on Steam, add to cart, $60. So, yeah, there you go. So far, I don't think there are any exclusive Rockstar games on the Rockstar launcher. Let me know if I'm wrong, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Yeah, if there's an exclusive game coming to the Rockstar launcher, I feel like it's going to be very far away.
Yeah. But if I wanted to know what's coming out today, Tim, to Mom and Grop Shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. I was actually trying to figure out in my mind. I was like, how am I going to make this segue work?
I got you.
And I'm glad, you swooped in. Out today, we have Jump Gunners on Switch, Above Earth on PC and Mac, Here come the mystery teens on PC. Barrett, you know what to do.
Here come the mystery teens.
For new dates,
God.
Borderlands 3 Takedown and Malawan Black Site is getting rebalanced for single players. It'll be available for 2 weeks. This comes from James O'Connor over at GameSpot. I'm going to read through the new dates, and we're going to get to the mystery teens over here. Borderlands 3 added a limited-time special event, Takedown at the Malawan Black Site, towards the end of 2019, but part of the event was delayed. In late December, Gearbox announced that a new version of the event that would scale depending on how many players you had in your party would release, making it easier for players who preferred to play alone to tackle it. This ended up being delayed, but a date for the scaled version of the event has now been set. In a new post on the Borderlands website, it's been announced that the scaled version of Takedown at the Malawan Black Site will be available from January 16 to January 30. It'll be slightly easier now for players who are taking it on alone, meaning that if you can't quite crack it right now, it's worth trying during this period. After January 30th, the event will revert to its standard difficulty level and will once again be tuned for 4 experienced vault hunters working together, which means that you'll need to be extremely skilled to beat it alone. And Legends of Runeterra, the League of Legends card game, will go into open beta on January 24th. Barrett, put up Here Come the Mystery Teens.
Here come the mystery teens.
All right, so it's a
Scooby-Doo ass knockoff.
Yeah. Oh my God, this looks like Scooby-Doo in Microsoft Paint. All right, so it looks like it.
With there's Doug.
Duke and Sunny. It's like visual novel-ish, but like with paint, like Microsoft Paint graphics.
Muggsy.
Honestly, though, this has
cat.
This has personality. I kind of like how this looks. Is that Navi?
All right, here we go.
Oh my God, I like the music.
This seems like a cool Greg ass game, man. I'm telling you.
I could see myself getting into this, honestly. Like, at first, I was like,
we're
going to
need
know.
An update, all right? Bless. Oh, get my God. On it. If here this, come the mystery team.
Let's see. It's coming out on PC. So this might not be available for the our PSL of UXL segment where we rank games coming out. But we'll see. Maybe in my free time, I might hit up the mystery teams. Might solve a mystery. Man, now it is time for reader mail. You can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this show, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. Between hitting the gym, eating cleaner, or learning a new skill, there are a lot of ways we can better ourselves in the new year. But I can't think of one that's more important than starting the year off tackling high-interest credit card debt. My friends at Upstart.com are here to help. Upstart is the revolutionary lending platform that offers smarter rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. The best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. That's the next day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit card debt or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry up to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Hurry up to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Let me also tell you about Hims. You've heard us talk about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best. If you haven't yet, it's time to see what they're all about. There's a problem out there, everybody. Mm-hmm. It's a huge problem.
Nick knows the problem. Andy knows the problem. Dude, all too well.
I also know the problem. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late. Is that hairline slowly moving backwards? Any bald spots yet? Let me tell you, I've started dealing with my hairline receding, and it's terrifying. Very terrifying.
Well, hey, they got a solution for you, man. Andy and Nick been using it for years at this point.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, receding hairlines, not fun. Not fun at all. If I knew about Hims a few years ago, it could have made a world of difference. But I'm just hearing about it now because I'm reading this ad right in front of you, learning with you. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. It's time to get a handle on those precious locks. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best versions of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. Hims was created by a guy who knows some men's health conversations are easier online than in person. No more awkward in-person doctor's visits or long pharmacy lines. 4Hims connects you to a real doctor online, which could save you hours, completely confidential and discreet. Answer a few quick questions. A doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, they can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Prescription products are subject to doctor approval and require an online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you were in person to the doctor's office or pharmacy. Remember that Remember, that's 4hymns.com/gamesdaily. We're also brought to you by Quip, the triple threat. Three sponsors today.
Woo!
Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental health care. It is simply this, that if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for more than 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric toothbrush has sensitive sonic vibrations. You know how much I love Sonic. With a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full and even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush. Quip delivers fresh brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping. So your routine is always right.
It's awesome. It's so awesome. Easy. I never even think about it. Next thing I know, I'm just getting some Quip, and I'm using that Quip every day, man. It's awesome. Beautiful. Sonic vibrations.
Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games. That's spelled GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, the good habits company. 2038, Pokemon CEO writes in and says, "Happy Monday, Blessing and Tim. Over the weekend was Pokemon's producer, director, and composer Junichi Masuda's birthday. Sadly, he was harassed on Twitter over the announcement of Pokemon DLC and still getting tweets about bringing back the national Pokedex. Masuda replied to a tweet saying, 'It's a public holiday today, and it's my birthday. Can you let me relax?'"
Damn.
I never felt a tweet so much in my life. "I can't help but to feel bad and helpless in this situation. Sure, fans can tweet positive posts to developers getting harassed on Twitter, but what more can we do? How do you wave through negativity and show up to the office in a positive mood?"
It's a rough thing, man. I honestly feel that it would be a lie to say that the positive tweets hit as hard as the negative tweets, you know?
For sure.
But they help so much. Mm-hmm. It's like, it could be, even though the negative will make me feel like goddamn shit, a positive tweet can like be just enough hope where you're like, you know what? Fuck that person.
Yeah.
to not let it affect you as much. And I feel like when those add up, like it's the quantity of them where, let's say 3 positive posts equal a negative post, mm-hmm. you know? And if you get those 3, like, that's going to leave you in a really good place. So I do think that positive messaging and, like, you know, reinforcement that what you're doing is valued goes a very long way to counter the negativity.
Yeah. It's crazy how much negativity can cut through, right? Like, this last week, obviously, it's my first week, kind of funny, which meant that I was getting, like, a lot of notifications, a lot of messages, and a lot of, like, you know, encouragement, support, and people being super nice. I talked about it on the post show on Friday, but like, you know, the community has been so welcoming, so accepting, so incredible to me. And like, you know, it's been way more positive than I could even ask for. That said, you know, not even though there's been 98% of people who've been positive, there have been like 2% of people, right, who I'll see my notifications and it'll be like one-off comments of like, "Oh man, you know, I wish he could host better. Oh man, like, whatever, like he needs to stop saying in between his sentences," or whatever the criticism may be, right? Whether it is like people being malicious or people being, you know, constructive in a nice way, even the constructive comments can cut through in a way where I'm like, "Oh yeah, man, like I know I do that, and that's something I'm trying to get better at," but like it still gets you down.
It's all you think about.
Yeah, it's all you think
about. You become obsessed with it instead of being obsessed with, you know, the things you're doing right, of which there are so many. It's very difficult. I think that's just human nature. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know that you can grow through that. You just kind of got to like learn to deal with it and learn the balance of it all.
Yeah, and people definitely like deal with it in different ways. Like Junichi Masuda like replying to the guy and being like, "Hey, can you guys let me relax just today? I get it."
Yeah.
Like, you know, that makes sense, right? And like it's very easy to be frustrated and kind of share that frustration, you know, with the people that are frustrating you. But also it can be a way of coping, can be a way of kind of like expressing that by being like, "Hey, everybody, can we calm down for a little bit and just let me chill?" Mm-hmm. At the same time, like, you know, for me, like the way I kind of deal with it is more so like self-reflection. I don't necessarily respond to most negative comments because, you know, at a certain point, it's like, why am I giving all like this all my energy when there is so much positivity out there and I'm missing a lot of it because like because of how much there of it there is, right? Like, you know, I can use my energy and focus on the positivity rather than just the negativity, right? And I can ignore that, or not even ignore it, but like not choose to
dwell
on it. Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of my approach. But you know, it's hard to really. Like, I mean, I think for me, the honest answer to this question of, like, you know, what can you do? Like, what do you do about negativity? A lot of times there's nothing you can do. You know, you just kind of got to accept it. Yeah. You know, and what either move on or, like, you know, take it and make yourself better. Right. This can be very corny. It's going to be very cheesy. It's a Kanye West lyric. Mm-hmm. It's from his first album. Mm-hmm. He says, I can let these dream killers kill my self-esteem or use my arrogance as esteem to power my dreams, which I know you know what I'm talking
about. There we
go. And, you know, like, people handle things their own way. You can use that negativity as fuel to be better. You can look to the positive. You can do whatever. But I think the thing you really got to do is figure out what works for you, and what is the healthy thing to do. What is the healthy way to respond? What is healthy for both you and the people around you? Right? You want to make sure you're being your best self for yourself and for the people around you.
I'm gonna quote 50 Cent: "If they hate, then let them hate, and watch the money pile up."
It's a great episode.
I know, it really is.
Marco Antonio Morales de la Cruz, which is a beautiful name. He says, good morning, Blessing and Tim. Good morning, Blessing and Tim fucking Geddes. I want to make this clear. It's Tim ma fucking Geddes.
Yeah.
With
you need
two
the
G's.
Ma, dude.
Two G's in the fucking.
Hell yeah, dude.
Tim ma fucking Geddes.
I get my fucking on with two G's.
I have one question that has been percolating in my mind and wallet. With the beast that the new consoles claim to be, and with rising costs on consumer electronics, is there a chance the new systems will come with a subscription/contract way, to pay like AT&T or Verizon? I can definitely see Xbox come out with an over $1,000 console. Thank you for your time and all you do.
I highly doubt that Xbox will put out a console over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
However, I never thought phones would hit that price, and they have.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But I doubt that. I do think there will be some type of subscription service thing. It's not subscription. Contract.
Yeah.
Microsoft's been doing that for years.
Yeah, I think they started doing that like a year or so ago for the Xbox Ones. And I think, I mean, we haven't necessarily heard how successful it's been, but I imagine it's a thing that's successful. Right?
That's the thing, man. We always talk about Xbox kind of like pushing forward and innovating like the marketplace, and I feel like it's just them doing a whole bunch of different things, having a whole bunch of different programs that they're actually utilizing and pushing, even if they don't need to all be the most successful thing ever. They just need to be working for the group that they're targeting, and I think that this is an easy win for them that I imagine will be an option.
Yeah, I think Xbox will 100% do this. I don't see PlayStation doing this.
Me neither.
Sony doesn't seem like that kind of company that would want to essentially do like a subscription/contract way of paying for a PS5. Whereas Xbox, their whole deal is wanting to get you into their ecosystem, and that's by any means necessary. And so, like, you know, whether it is like you're paying $50 a month for your Xbox Series X, I think, you know, they will have that option available. You know, whether or not it's at launch, I don't know, but yeah. I think you will see that option available.
I agree.
Now it's time to squat up. Tyrone writes in and says, I am 36 and a father of two. I'd like to squat up with some of the community members. Currently, I am playing The Outer Worlds. I am on and off of Borderlands 3, and I'm still working on The Plat. The Division 2 and COD Modern Warfare, I'm also playing. I'm willing to play other games popular in the community to keep the gamer within alive. My PSN is Tragic Johnson, which is a great PSN name. I know it's a silly name, but I've had this name since 2007, and I don't want to give it up. Hey, I don't blame you. Tragic Johnson is a great name. And my Twitch is Decoy0ext. Most of my gamer friends I had when I got a PS3 in 2007 put the controller down.
God, that's so sad.
That is very sad.
That's the saddest sentence I've heard.
That sounds the most like Tragic died. Johnson thing.
I love video games, and I want to keep them in my life when the sun goes down for the time being. And so if you're out there and you want to play with Tragic Johnson, hit him up on PSN.
There's some poetry there, man. Read him some poetry.
Man, it's beautiful. Let's get into kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and see what we've been wrong.
So about. I went in there already and I kind of cleaned it out a bit. I can go through these. Kebab says Kiev is pronounced Kiev. And Nicholas Richter says it's the capital of Ukraine. So we're learning something today.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I knew that. I just didn't know how it's pronounced.
Nanobiologist says, Tim said there was a break between Origins and Odyssey, but it was only a year between those two game launches. I totally blanked on that.
Yeah, because
I would have sworn it was 2 years.
Because it's, I believe, it's two Ubisoft studios that are heading up those projects. And so it was a year after, well, it was before Origins. Was that Syndicate?
So yeah, it was Syndicate, then Origins, yeah. then Odyssey.
So it was
Syndicate came out.
Syndicate, and then there was a year after Syndicate, like a year off, and then it was Origins, yeah. and then Odyssey was after. But essentially, they're on like a 2 year rotation where you get Assassin's Creed 1 year, another Assassin's Creed from the other studio the next year, and then a year off. So each of the studios are having 3 years to work on their game.
So the Syndicate, I believe, was 2015, and then Origins was 2017,
yeah.
and then Odyssey and then was 2018.
And then last year we got nothing, and then this year we'll likely
last year I think we got a substantial amount of DLC.
Well, DLC. Yeah.
But no new release.
And then speaking of Assassin's Creed here, so Slick Rick says, according to Daniel Ahmed, most of these Assassin's Creed leaks are wrong.
Then
Nanobiologist says, Revelations gives you a hook blade, which can be used to zip line across the city to grab enemies to yank them in. That was the parkour thing, or the traversal thing. And then Nanobiologist also says, Jason Schreier also already confirmed in an article last year the next Assassin's Creed game would be Viking setting, which makes sense with the Ragnarok name, after a post appeared in Division 2 showing a Viking with the header of Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what's up with all these Assassin's Creed leaks, but those leaks aren't as...
Yeah.
Factual, as you might think. Nicholas Richter says the world 8-4 solution is to enter the final pipe of every screen.
Wait, really?
I didn't realize that. Interesting.
It's been so long that I just forgot.
I don't think that's right, though. Because when there's the flying fish, I think it's the second pipe. Unless there's not a third pipe. Dan Neff says Red Dead Redemption 2 requires the Rockstar launcher, though you can buy it in other stores. So if you bought it on Epic on Steam, it would open via Rockstar launcher.
Interesting.
And Luker Wolf says Rockstar confirmed during the show that the GTA 4 Steam delisting is due to Games for Windows Live, and they're assessing other options to sell the game again.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That all sounds cool. Did you see this one from Nanobiologist?
No.
Xbox already has a contract service called the Xbox All Access program, which is pretty much what we're talking about. It's not a year long, but adding more context. Whenever you get a console and 2 years of Game Pass and Gold, they already have confirmed that if you signed up for the Xbox One X All Access program on Amazon, you can upgrade to the Series X for free. Interesting. I didn't realize that was a thing.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It already exists.
Man, that's wild. That all sounds awesome. We're about to get into the post show. Before we do, this week's hosts are Tuesday. It's me and Imran. Me and Imran the Don Khan. That's gonna be my nickname for him.
Dude, you're good at this, man.
I'm making it my own thing. I'm gonna start making my own nicknames for
everyone.
So I gotta figure that out. But that's Tuesday. Wednesday is me and Gary. Thursday is me and Fran, and then Friday it's Greg and me. And Greg hosts, and I'm in the co-host seat.
I love this, man. Last week it was me, you, and Greg. Yeah. Like every combination, well, not every combination. You and us, every combination of you hosting or not hosting. And now we're getting the part timers in here, and Ron, Fran, Gary,
and work with everybody. I'm really excited about this week. And so we'll see you in the post show for Patreon. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Oh yeah.